Sometimes in movies, there are these unrealistic, larger-than-life characters. Nobody is really like Iron Man. Nobody is really like Wonder Woman. Maybe. But there's other kind of movies which have these characters that we can relate to, characters that we can connect to. I remember when I saw To Kill a Mockingbird, I really wish I got to know Atticus. I thought he was somebody that would be a good person to know. And we realize, of course, that in Jesus' time there weren't movies, but there were stories. And Jesus was one of the premier storytellers in all of history. We call these stories the parables, and his parables are not about the larger than life characters. His parables are about people that we understand, that people we can relate to. And he told those stories exactly so we would relate to them. Jesus does not tell these parables in a way that gives us some kind of pat answer. This is what the parable means. No, in order for us to understand the parable, we have to kind of enter into it. We have to complete the parable in our own lives. So today, we hear one of the most famous of all the stories Jesus told, the story that we usually call the story of the prodigal son. But actually, I think a better title is the one that Luke recalls in the beginning here when it starts off. A man had two sons. And that's really what the parable is about. A man who had two sons. And so let's see how we can enter into that story. Let's see if we can relate to what's going on. The younger son. I think we all can relate to the younger son. Somebody who was so self-absorbed that he didn't see how his actions were impacting others, you know. Father, I want my share of the inheritance. You're keeping me from having a good time. And so I want to get out of here and have some fun. Now, we probably have not told anybody to go drop dead the way this son seemed to have done, but we all, I think, can get so concerned about what we're going through with our own self that we ignore others. We think that what is happening to us is, of course, the most important thing. We can justify treating others shabbily by saying, well, I got to do what I got to do. And we can relate to this younger son and wanting to have some fun, enjoy yourself, you know, and so we want to do that. We want to hang around with the cool people. We want to eat this or drink that or smoke that so that we can have a good time. We understand what this younger son did. And unfortunately, we can all relate, I think, to the idea that he wasted what he had. Now, maybe we don't have an inheritance to waste, to dissipate. But I think we can understand what it means to waste our most precious thing, which is time. Every day we have 86,400 seconds. And how many of them are wasted? You know, how many cat videos have we watched? You know, they're just really not anything of God, not anything that's nurturing us in seeing that TV show. So we understand what this young man was all about. We have parts of ourselves that connect to it. And I think we also can understand that when the going got rough, when he was kind of desperate, he said, well, I'm going to go back to my family. I'm going to wheedle my way back in to them, because they're family, they have to take me back, right? So this younger son, somebody we can relate to, and I think we can relate to, or I can relate to anyway, the older son. Now, the older son, of course, is the one who feels overlooked, feels neglected, feels taken for granted. We all can get our feathers ruffled when people just presume on us. I always used to mind when the teacher would praise little Billy over there, who was acting up most of the time. If he did something good, the teacher would praise him. Oh, very good, Billy. And I'm sitting there being good the whole time, and no one ever said anything to me. You know, we can relate to the fact that sometimes there's this person at work who takes credit for something somebody else did. Hey, wait a minute. We understand this son, because the same kinds of resentments can build up in us, you know, where we start to have this rivalry with another person, and that rivalry causes us to judge their motives, and then we build up these offenses, and then all of a sudden we resent them. Now, the father in the story today tells the older son, well, you know, you get over it. You know, get over it. You know, you should... You should trust in me. You know, you were with me always. Well, show me. Show me that I should trust in you. You know, why should I trust in you? You didn't even call me up for the party. Father says, well, you should be grateful. All that I have is yours. And the son says, well, I don't know. I don't know why I should be grateful, because it seems like I'm the one who deserves this. I'm the one who's working to make it all possible. So this older son has built up these resentments. And I think we can relate to the father too. We can relate to the father, because we all have we all have those family situations which drive us crazy, right? The way this father did, you know, He's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to make it all, keep it all together, and sometimes not succeeding. He put so much attention in his problem child that he neglected the other boy, and so his motives are judged. His best intentions are looked down upon. He feels like he's the one who always has to do the reaching out. He's the one who always has to make the connection. You know, I always used to say to others when they complain that I don't call, well, you know, your phone actually has a dialer too, besides just a receiver. You know, you can call me. And the father feels put upon. He's trying as best he can, and his family is breaking his heart. And he feels powerless to do anything about it. So those are the characters in the story Jesus tells us, and so we have to figure out why Jesus told that story, because he doesn't tell us why he told. There's no, and the moral of the story is the way Aesop would have done. Now Jesus wants us to figure it out, and I think there's two lessons I got out of it anyway, that maybe one more obvious than the other. The obvious one, of course, is forgiveness. The lesson that's there. The father is a model of forgiveness, that he was willing to welcome this son back. He's the one who anticipates the welcome. He doesn't hold him in any kind of resentment. He feels that he can embrace him just as he is, doesn't expect him to be other than who he is. So that's a good model. But I think the older son has to have forgiveness too. The older son has to forgive his father for not noticing him, for taking him for granted. He has to forgive his father for that. And I think the younger son has to forgive his brother. Because I have no doubt that the reason the younger son took off was because the older boy was like me, an older brother who always had the right answer and always was arrogant and always knew what was right and always told the younger brother what to do. And so he said, I'm getting out of Dodge. So for that family to operate again, there had to be forgiveness for them to be a family on all parts. And I think that's our story as well. I think that's why Jesus told that, to remind us that the only way we can be family together is by forgiving. And then the second lesson I got out of it is how important it is to have a party. Right? The Father says we had to rejoice. We must celebrate. And I think the reason that that's a necessity, not just a nice thing to do, but a necessity, is because it's our way of claiming our identity as children of God. You see, God doesn't love us once we get our act together. You know, we are as messed up as the prodigal family. But they had to rejoice, and we have to rejoice. We have to rejoice because God loves us just today. God rejoices in us just today. And so let us always have that realization that to be Christians is not about gloom and doom. No more sour Christians, Pope Francis says. But we can be people who are filled with joy that just as we are, God accepts us and loves us. So today, on this Pink Sunday, this Laetare Sunday, for any of you old Latins out there, this Sunday of rejoicing, I'm reminded of the line from one of the old gospel songs. Joy today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind, for joy today is mine. Amen.